Russia's Vladimir Putin have spoken over the phone about the contentious Iraqi Kurdish vote in support of independence and stressed the importance of Iraq and Syria's territorial integrity. Turkey's fighting a Kurdish insurgency on its territory and opposes any moves toward the creation of a separate Kurdish state. More at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my sidekick, Sean.
Hello.
How are you doing this week, Sean?
Not bad. I do want to give my listeners, our listeners,
do you have your own? Do you have your own segment of our fan base?
I'm not planning to overthrow you. That's preposterous. Fun, yeah. Anyway, I want to give our listeners a quick update on one of the stories from last week.
Oh, sounds good. All right.
About the end of the world.
Oh.
It was supposed to end on Saturday, and it didn't. So
That's the update?
That's the update.
The world did not end?
Yeah. Yeah, you may have heard last week, especially from us, that a guy named David Mead predicted that the world would end on Saturday due to a secret code he found in the Bible, but experts assure us that it has not ended, and so, you know, people are turning to him and asking, what the heck, Dave? But he wasted no time in revising his prediction to October 15th, Also of this year, as an interesting choice for him to choose to go, you know, so soon. You'd think, you know, he'd want some time to get over the humiliation, but, you know, it surprised me, but I will point out that we predicted that he would revise his prediction, so.
Did he revised it?
Well, he tried to, like, play it off as, oh,
did
it's not.
Did this revision happen prior to Saturday?
No.
So it happened after Saturday.
It happened after Saturday, and he kind of went, well, you know, I didn't say it would actually end on Saturday. I said it would be the beginning of the end. You know, look for something unmistakable by October 15th.
Right.
I think is pretty weak, frankly. You know, I
don't know. Now's the time to do it, you know, because, like, the country is so just polarized, and both sides think that the other side is intentionally setting out to destroy the world.
You know, this brings me to a topic.
Now is the time, man.
This is what I wanted to talk about, because here's the thing. 47% of American Christians agree with you. They say that 47% believes that the world, or that the rapture, will definitely or probably occur in the next 40 years.
Really?
Yeah. Which is a much higher percentage than I thought, and when I hear that, I'm like, I don't know, I really strongly disagree with that, because just consider this, you know, the Book of Revelations has been around for a long time, you know, 2,000 years, give or take.
Right.
The world didn't end when the Roman Empire fell and Europe was plunged into chaos. You know, it didn't end during the Black Death, or the Protestant Reformation, or, you know, World Wars I or II, or the Industrial Revolution, or the Cold War, when it actually kind of made sense to think that it would end.
Right.
And it's like, is it really more unstable right now than during the freaking Black Death, you know?
Yeah, you know, well, we are overdue for a pandemic as well.
That is true. And I'm not saying the world's not ending, because, you know, the world's ending. Because of climate change and all of that. But, you know, that's not in the next
40
years.
Well, a lot of people would argue that climate change is not even happening.
Yeah, well, they would, but they are wrong.
So convinced of this, are you?
I am convinced. As convinced as the 47% who think that the rapture will be happening in the next 40 years. But the difference between them and me is that they will be disappointed.
I don't know if they would be disappointed.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if they're looking forward to it or anything. I was kind of looking forward to it this Saturday, because if all of the devout Christians truly were raptured off the earth, then you know that what that means is that the Democrats were going to sweep the electoral, the whole map, come 2018.
Well, I don't know if that's the case, because when you told me that number of 47%, I was thinking that something like 70% of the country considers themselves Christian, and there are a lot of Christian Democrats out there. So I was thinking that it was interesting, this 47% is probably... Both sides think that the world's going to end in the rapture.
That
they
is,
both think
that,
that it's the
true,
other side's
and
fault.
That, it is hard to pinpoint, you know, who it is. And it's kind of hard to think about that, because obviously there are devout Christians on both sides, but at the same time, both sides believe that the other side is like the devil trying to destroy the earth.
Right.
So.
And to be fair, here's what I think is going on in this world.
All right.
I think there are a lot of people with really big mouths.
I can't argue with that.
But I think that there are silent masses that far outweigh both of the others who are just trying to get along, make the world work. Their opinions may not fall in line, but they're just getting out there voting, believing what they believe. I think that we're looking at a very, very loud subsect that is just armchair pundits that need to go back to their day jobs.
Amen.
Well, maybe tonight we'll get some insight into the rapture, because tonight our guest is an exorcist.
Yes, I'm very excited for this one.
Why?
Because we talked about demons a lot on this show. You know, we talk to a lot of ghost people, and one of our main questions is always, do you believe in ghosts that were never alive? And, you know, those are typically identified by the people we talk to by the label of demons.
Right.
Now, you know, whether you believe they're fallen angels who were cast out along with Lucifer or what, you know, every major religion practically and culture has had demonic entities that are responsible for ill will, and most of them have had exorcists, you know.
Well, this is, you know, as a horror movie fan, you know, I'm into this stuff.
Exactly.
And... really, on my way down here, I was thinking to myself, I'm all, you know, how do I put together that I am not a Christian, nor am I much of a spiritual person,
mm-hmm.
yet I have this interest in exorcisms and demons
yeah.
and stuff like that, but it's two places where my interests don't really align to believing in one another. They're very
yeah.
much at odds with one another.
Yeah, same for me, because I think demons, in the sense of, you know, otherworldly, non-physical entities, are pretty plausible as far as paranormal stuff goes. You know, some of the investigators we've talked to have made very good cases for the existence of demons.
Yeah, I think so too, but to me, I think of demon as being a very, for lack of a... I was going to use the word benign term to put on it, but a very just sort of label to huck on something that we
yeah,
don't know.
Well, it
know.
Is kind of a loaded term for, you know, a whole subset of things and phenomena. But it certainly will be interesting to talk to someone who, regardless of, you know, whatever kind of background they're coming to this from, clearly have a lot more experience than either of us do in dealing firsthand with.
Right.
With these entities. So I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, the main thing that I really want to know is that I'm curious about when it comes to demons and religion
mm-hmm.
is most of the world is not Christian.
Sure.
So are these parts of the world, do their religions apply to exorcisms and taking care of these
yeah.
things? Or are these other parts of the world... kind of like this colonial America attitude of the Dark Continent, you know, where the devil is at play with these
running wild yeah.
with these heathens or something. I don't know, you know. So that's one thing that definitely is curious about, and I'm going to find out about. You're listening to Radio Wasteland, and when you come on back, you got our guest. Thank you.
trail by Turning Hound. Didn't get to sleep that night till the morning came around. Sit out run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get to sleep tonight.
Hi, this is Ron Lim from Lim's Pharmacy. My staff and I would like to invite you to come and try our personalized, fast, friendly service that has always been the foundation of our pharmacy. We have been serving the Reading area for over 30 years. We solve insurance problems quickly and efficiently. We accept Medi-Cal, work comp, and most insurances. Lim's Pharmacy is located inside the Shasta Community Health Center at Placer and Continental Streets. And you don't have to be a patient of the clinic to come to us. Call us at 241-8700 for more info. Thank you.
I'm here with Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists. Doc, tell us about this new system, the DRX-9000.
The DRX-9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal decompression system. The DRX-9000 can effectively treat common and debilitating back pain, neck pain, stenosis, and sciatica.
We hear over and over about people just having or getting ready to have back surgery. Now, why is that?
Too many people are having back surgery when the technology for non-surgical disc repair is right here in Reading.
So when you compare back surgery to non-surgical decompression like the DRX-9000, what are some of the main differences?
Non-surgical spinal decompression is safer, more effective, more financially reasonable, and much less invasive with no side effects or dependence on harmful prescription drugs.
Explore all options and potentially avoid a painful, long, expensive recovery with back surgery. See if the DRX-9000 is right for you. Call Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists, 243-2300. You can also find them online at shastaspine.com.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Reading Concrete is proud to help bring high school football to the radio here on KCNR 1460. Reading Concrete is your local ready-mix concrete provider. Exceptional customer service and a quality ready-mix product at competitive prices is our primary goal. Reading Concrete, located at 16855 Clear Creek Road. Give them a call at 530-244-7593 for your next concrete pour. Reading Concrete, serving you with a quality ready-mix product.
KCNR 1460, local live radio, bringing you high school football every Friday night, beginning with the pregame show at 7:15 and kickoff at 7:30. Connor Sutton and Tom Galebreath bring you the play-by-play action. KCNR Friday Night Football, sponsored in part by Reading Kia, Black Bear Diner, Holiday Harbor, Turtle Bay Exploration Park, Tri-Counties Bank, Cornerstone Bank, and SST Oil. KCNR 1460 is your source for local sports.
Where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, across the mills, across the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Our topic tonight is we're talking about exorcisms.
Yeah.
You know, I think mental illness probably put a huge damper in exorcism. I'm going to leave out a name, but we had a family friend who had schizophrenia. Mm. And he had it so bad, and he was ex-military, so I think he probably had some post-traumatic stress and stuff like that. And he eventually, he plucked his own eye out.
Ooh.
Like, with his bare hands.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well. So you're saying in ancient times that may have been mistaken for demonic possession.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but You know, so the hard part might be to try to figure out which is which.
Yeah.
All right. So we are here. You're listening to Radio Wasteland, and we're here with our guest, Sonia Bros. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did. Yes.
All right. Great.
Nice.
Well, thanks for being on the show. This is a topic that we are very interested in. We really.
Hello?
Hello?
You cut out there for a minute.
Oh, that's all right. I just said thank you for being on the show. This is a topic that we are really interested in. And so I got to get the questions that I'm sure you've been asked 1,000 times out of the way. How exactly did you get started in exorcisms?
Well, it was really self-defense. I grew up in a haunted house, and, you know, the rest of my family, they just, you know, it was difficult for us. We weren't attacked by anything, but we were constantly, you know, having to listen to footsteps going up and down and different things like that. And it just, you know, my mother would walk around the house at night praying, reading out of the Bible aloud and things. And I think somewhere around 13, 14, I decided to fight back. And I guess I've been fighting back ever since.
So we have a lot of, paranormal researchers, you know, ghost hunters on the show, and you say that the house was haunted. So, to you, is there a difference between possession and demonic and exorcism and ghosts?
Oh, I think definitely, yes. Hmm. Yes. Yes. I think a lot of times ghosts are, you know, basically what Catholics call purgatorial spirits. They're people who passed away, and maybe they still have things that they wanted to get done, and they just weren't able to get that done. Or maybe they died very quickly, and they are trying to connect still with the living. But when it comes to demonic, there is a completely huge difference in that. They're always after something that will harm other people, or usurp their life force, their life energy. They hate everything that's good. And even if somebody's not a Christian, even if they're not a believer in God, a demon will just take everything they have from them. It doesn't matter what it is. If they have family, they have friends, they have anything they care about, whether it's their lifestyle, their money, their well-being, their health, demons will drain it from them. So, yeah, there's a huge difference. A regular ghost really doesn't do that. They have maybe one or two thoughts that they're working on, and they don't usually attack people either. Maybe they might be a little cranky once in a while, but you know, if a little old lady didn't throw a piano at you when she was alive, she's certainly not going to do it when she's dead.
I see.
You know, and I hear a lot of that. They're like, oh, this ghost, you know, something threw something at me, you know, threw something heavy or something that's really harmful, like knives or whatever. I can tell you right now, that's not a ghost.
So pretty much anything that shows malice would be a demon.
Yes, true malice.
True malice.
Yeah.
So our demon. So I'm coming from the standpoint that, you know, I do have an interest in these things, and I do have a skeptical belief in them, but mm-hmm. I personally am not of any sort of religion.
Mm-hmm.
So are these demons, when we're talking about them, are we actually talking about the minions of the devil? You know, are we? Is that what we're talking about here?
Well, you know, it's. I can tell you this. Over many years, I've worked with atheists and agnostics and people of all different religions and basically non-religions. You know, when you get attacked by true evil, it doesn't really matter where does it come from. What matters is that you get it to stop, that you get free from it, that you get away from it.
Oh, absolutely. I can imagine.
You know, it's to me, you know, as a Christian, yes, I see them as basically minions, so to speak, of the devil. I see demons as his helpers, their fallen angels, that sort of thing. But as a regular person, I see demons as something that is absolutely contrary to life as we know it. It's a reversal, if you would, of life itself. The energy form, it's like antimatter to matter. So when you get around something like this, whether you're religious or not, you sense it. You know it. There's a fight or flight response in you that dictates getting away from it for your own survival. You know, so it doesn't matter what it disguises itself as. You can feel the threat coming towards you. It's that virulent. It's that violent. It's not something that somebody can make up and say, oh, this is a demon. Well, how do you think it's a demon? Well, oh, because I just felt that there was something not right or whatever. But see, when people encounter true demons, oh, you don't just get that little feeling of, oh, something's not right or something's cockeyed or whatever. You get that feeling like, I just want to scram. I want out of here. I want gone. I want done with this. You know, nobody in their right mind wants to hang around a demon. You know, and you see that. You see it with animals. You see it with people. It doesn't matter whether they're tribal people. It doesn't matter whether they're the most sophisticated person in the world. If you encounter true evil, you just want to get the heck and gone away from it.
I see. So, seeing how we're dealing with, like, the antithesis of life and good,
mm-hmm.
are people who are good more apt to be attacked?
No.
It is... We don't know what causes it, or...
The thing is that demons don't need a reason. They don't need a reason to attack you. If you stumble into one, that can open you up to being attacked simply because they're curious. They're entities. They're intelligent entities. So are they going to come at you because they suddenly notice you? That's a possibility. Not always true, but it's a possibility.
Well, is it a geographic thing then? If it's not a behavior thing, how are you running into them?
No, it's not geographic. It's not a behavior thing. It's more of a opportunistic thing.
I see.
You know, demons do what demons do. And if you deliberately give them the opportunity, you deliberately make yourself available, then, yeah, you can definitely pretty much count on the fact that they're going to come after you one way or the other. And they don't normally send, you know, you're not going to get the big kind of demon coming after you if you make yourself an opportunity. You're going to get the small ones, the sneaky ones, the ones that don't appear to be a problem. It's like somebody having the invisible friend, and then, you know, for maybe 2 or 3 years, all that invisible friend wants to do is play checkers. And then after 2.5 years, 3 years or something, they start to get more aggressive. You know, they want to win all the time, or they want to play another game, or they want you to do this, or they want you to do that. They start to intrude upon your thinking process. That's how they get in. And if they can get you to converse with them, if they can fool you into thinking they're a person in trouble, a child, an animal, whatever, they'll use whatever means they can to try to get more and more and more of your attention. So it can be a very slow, insidious process. You don't always run into the great big hairy type of demon from the get-go. Although that can happen too. But it depends on, you know, when you do encounter a really big demon, that usually will happen if you are doing the work I'm doing. and you deliberately are set, you know, you're going to help someone, and many times before I ever even pick up the phone, I know exactly what's going to happen, what's going to go on, because God lets me know that.
Well,
discernment.
One second, let me cut you off there. We're going to commercial break, but I have a lot more questions for you. Come on back with our guest, Sonia Brose, exorcist.
Well, about the time my daddy left to fight the big war, saw my first pistol in the general store. In the general store when I was 13, thought it was the finest thing I ever had seen. I asked if I could have one when I grew up. Mama dropped a dozen eggs and she really blew up. She really blew up and I didn't understand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand. She really blew up and I didn't.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all, but not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
It's fall savings time at Reading Kia. You want to save money, right?
Well, don't pay a penny in interest during Reading Kia's fall savings sale.
Come in today and get 0% financing on all new 2017 Kia models. Not just one or two, but every model in Reading Kia's award-winning lineup qualifies for 0% financing.
Even Sorento?
Yes, even the 2017 Kia Sorento comes with 66 months of interest-free financing on approval of credit.
Or get $3,500 at KMF standard bonus cash plus $1,000 retail bonus cash on Sorento four-cylinder. That's $4,500.
And the 17 Kia Sorento is the highest-ranked midsize SUV in initial quality. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com.
Take a test drive, make a great deal, and be happy.
0% financing for 66 months is $15.15 per thousand financed.
Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for Sorento offer ends October 31st.
Reading Kia, Cypress Avenue, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, readingkia.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
Chicago woman, looking high.
right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland with our guest exorcist, Sonia Burrows. Sonia, what does somebody who's possessed look like? You know, I get people, some tell me that, like, we're all carrying a little bit of this and that you might not even know it, and then, you know, movies portray it like, you know, you got words coming out of your chest and, you know, pea soup.
Head spinning around.
Right, and stuff like that, you know. So what does it look like?
Well, it doesn't really look like anything. People that are actually possessed, you know, more people are oppressed and obsessed by things. That's how that all starts. And when someone's oppressed, they tend to be quite depressed, and they tend to start withdrawing from other people or their life. And there's a big difference between natural depression and oppression type of depression. The oppression type of depression, they tend to shy away from more and more from things that are religious or that are holy or that are blessed. A lot of times I get people, they'll say, well, I've lost my faith, or I no longer, you know, God doesn't listen to me, he doesn't care about me, I can't hear him. And this is typical with oppression, because demons, once they start the migration into the body, they tend to block out your hearing, and they also start to take over your senses a little bit, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your ears, your skin, even your sense of touch can change. And that's not really noticeable to most people. They just think somebody's having a hard time or they're going through some difficult experiences. But usually oppressed people will begin, they'll tell you they've had a paranormal experience or this or that, and these different things have been going on. And they just become more and more and more depressed until sometimes they will actually threaten suicide or whatever. And it also tends to put people off. So the demons want to push everyone away from this person. So some people will start staying away, even if it's like their sister or a parent. They'll want to be somewhere else because that person seems to be obnoxious or difficult to deal with, or they're like, well, every time I talk to this person, they've got all this heap of problems and all these things going on, and they're always talking about ghosts or things thumping in their house or all these things, yet when I go over there, nothing's happening. And set it up to where no one believes anybody, because when you get there, you don't see any of this. Once the oppression starts to get into a major stage, then when you go over there, you will see things start to happen. You'll hear things happening or whatever. But at that point in time, you've kind of alienated yourself a little bit from the person having the problem, because now you're looking at, you know, a little bit of fear on your own part, and also you're starting to think that this person might be mentally ill. So they get alienated, they get isolated, and things start to get really difficult for them on a day-to-day basis. Once the demon moves up forward into the brain, more into the frontal part of the brain, and starts to take over the vision, the hearing, the thought process, and all of that, the person no longer is really present, because they don't really remember any of the things that are going on. So if a demon's actually in possession of that person, you know, they can ebb backward and forward. And if they ebb backward, then you think you're talking to this regular person, which you may be, you know, you might be. But when they come forward, that person doesn't remember a thing of what's going on. And their language might change. They might speak languages you've never... You know that they've never been exposed to, like suddenly they're speaking Greek or French or ancient Latin or some other type of language. They're also doing things that you know that they personally could not do, like, for example, a small child going over and lifting a heavy chair. Or they could just, or you could, for example, try to pick them up to hold them, and they could just knock you flat. I mean, they could just swing you clear across the room. But that child will remember none of it. A person in full possession, the only way that you can, an exorcist can tell when they're fully possessed, because they can lift the eyelids and the eyes are either rolled upward or they're rolled downward. And if they're rolled upward, that's a sign of a scorpion. If they're rolled downward, they're a sign of a serpent. And these are two different classifications of demons. So you don't, if you see a possessed person, you may not realize you're looking at a possessed person until they start acting in ways that you know are physically incapable. Or, for example, you might meet someone for the very first time, and this guy turns around to you and he says, "Oh, I know this and this, and you did this and this when you were 14, and you did that and that when you were 26 and whatever." He knows, suddenly knows things that he couldn't possibly know. But they're usually, when they come out with stuff like that, it's not like, for example, say you talk to a psychic who might mention, you know, things that are not really obnoxious that you've done. A demon's going to always jump on whatever you did that you hope to God nobody ever finds out about, you know.
I see.
They've done this to people in the middle of an exorcism, where priests have actually had a nervous breakdown because things were brought up that they couldn't defend themselves against at the moment. So it's a possession is a very horrendous state for the human being to go through. But they don't remember any of it. You know, even if that possession lasts for years and they go through 300 exorcisms, they will never remember any of the times that the demon took over.
So we got about 4 minutes until our commercial break, but you did pique my interest back there with something. The scorpion and the serpent, what is the difference there?
Well, the difference is in how they possess people and also how their actions and how they work. The scorpion tends to be exactly that. In other words, they have the nature, so to speak, of a scorpion. In other words, they'll sting someone until they're dead, and they will literally, if they can, they will kill the person they've possessed. They'll definitely be extremely violent at the same time to exorcists or to people like myself who are working with that person. If they're a serpent, they're much more wily. They're much more into subtle nuances and kind of sneaking up on you type of things where you don't really see it coming all the time. But once they get deeply inside the person, they're much more harder to get free of. It's very hard to exorcise, for example, certain of these demons that are serpentine. It's very, very difficult to get them exorcised from a human being.
Huh. All right. Well, you know, I'm really enjoying this topic. I think Sean is too.
Yeah,
we're
I'm
both
on the edge
just sitting
of my
here
seat here.
Quietly watching each other. All right, well, we're coming up on a commercial break. You are listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest, Sonia Broas, and we will be right back.
Well, me and the devil sitting at a stoplight. He started rolling all us out of sight. I'm a little far from the moonlight. 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 Well, going pretty fast. I look behind. Here comes the devil doing 99. I'm a little far from the moonlight. 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 Let's take it off. this was one. Here come the devil doing 101. I'm up to try to drive and move.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hey, Carl, let's find a new place to eat. Do you have any suggestions?
Have you tried the Cedar Tree Restaurant in Palo Cedro?
No, I haven't yet. What's it like?
Hey, it's great. Locally owned and operated. The owner, Susan, does a superb job. Food's outstanding, and the entire dining experience is well worth that short trip to Palo Cedro.
Okay, what are their hours?
7:30 to 2, Saturday through Tuesday. 7:30 to 8, Wednesday through Friday. You won't be sorry that you went out there.
All right, let's go.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
All right, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland with our guest, Sonia Bros. My engineer keeps telling me that I'm saying your last name incorrectly. Am I saying it correctly? Are you there with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. My engineer keeps telling me I'm saying your last name incorrectly. Am I saying your last name correctly?
No, it's Bros.
Burrows or Bros?
No, Bros, like Bros. Rose with a B on the front.
Bros. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Take that, Jared. All right. So I got interested in this stuff. A lot of it has had to do with growing up sort of leaning towards a dark interest. You know, I grew up with horror movies and stuff like that. And so I always got to ask people, what's the scariest thing that you've had to deal with while dealing with this?
What's the scariest, huh? Well, I think for me, the scariest thing, you know, when I'm working, God just, it's like I set myself aside in the heart of Christ. And, you know, it's like God does all the work. Once I do that, all fear just kind of leaves me and I go forward. But when I'm in my regular self here, and something untoward happens, in other words, I get caught off guard, which can happen whether you're a charismatic or not, or if you don't take something seriously enough, you can get caught off guard. I guess probably the most difficult and scariest situation I ran into one time was underestimating a situation. I wasn't really paying attention. It was years ago, and I wasn't feeling well. I was tired. I just was off my game a little bit. And I went over to deliver some blessed items and exercised oil and salt to a person who had asked and requested help. And this person lived in town here in Sacramento. And I drove over there and walked up to the door. And, you know, like I said, I just wasn't on my game. I was just, normally I pray, I put on my rosary, I'm anointed, everything. That day, for some reason, I just thought, oh, I can just drop this by.
It was more like you were running an errand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, I walked right into it. And anyway, I knocked on the door, and this person literally was levitating off the floor when they opened the door. Usually you only see manifestations of that nature in an exorcism when the demon is being called out, when the exorcist is trying to get their name. But this demon just literally pushed, just opened the door. They were standing upright. The demon was in full control. There was no human being present. And they just literally pushed the package, pushed me backwards down the steps. And it was literally the grace of God that I realized, and I grabbed onto the railing before it pushed. And so it swung me around sideways, but I did not fall. And then they shut the door. Basically, on very shaky legs, I hobbled back down the steps and kind of staggered over to my car, leaned against the car, and thanked the Lord that I wasn't killed. But I've had some other cases where I've walked into situations where there was heavy-duty witchcraft. I wrote a book about Juarez. I don't know if you've read that, but it was major witchcraft, high magic witchcraft, and had to sustain for 10 days trying to clear all these buildings and homes and bless these people and families and everything. And I have to say, it took years for me to get my health back after that episode. But I've literally walked into buildings before to clear a place and had a person go into full possession as I walked through the door. But I was ready. You know, I was ready for it. And I had spray bottles filled with exercise water and salt, formally blessed by an exorcist with me. I had one on each side, and I kind of went in like Quick Draw McGraw, and this person just literally levitated off the bed and was screaming all sorts of blasphemous things, and I just started spraying and praying the Lord's Prayer. And as I sprayed, the person settled back down into the bed. The demon backed off, and she woke up and looked at me and said, boy, does that feel good, you know. You get things thrown at you. There's all kinds of
things. Well, you definitely win for some of the scarier experiences when I've asked that question. I always ask that question. And you definitely, you're coming in at first at some of the scariest stuff that I've been told about.
Yeah, it's scary enough. True. I can tell you right now, honestly, there's times when I have clients who call and just seeing their name come up on the on my caller ID sends me over to the wall to grab a rosary and my holy oil, before I pick up the phone, you know.
Well, we don't have too much more time, but I have a question that I was really wanting to ask. I wish I would have asked this with more time. So when you're exercising, this is like a Christian or Catholic belief system. So if somebody in India is possessed, mm-hmm. do other religions have their own ways, or do they have to be Christian in order to be exorcised, or how does that work?
No, there are many different tribes and many different religions that have their own exorcism rituals. In learning all of this, you know, I started out as a Protestant person, and of course I was always affiliated with God, but I have learned, I've studied, I've been around the world, I've seen all these different things. The one thing I will tell you is that the exorcism through the name of Christ sticks. You know, when you heal someone through Christ, they stay healed. When you exorcise someone through the name of Christ, he stays exorcised. Many of the other formats that I've seen, the person can easily be repossessed, and sometimes they're repossessed before they even leave the building. So I don't know. You know, it's just what I've seen and what I've experienced. But to me, there's only one true way to call an end to it, and that's with the authority of Christ. I've seen other things, and you know, I had an open mind, but I can tell you that what I saw did not convince me to leave the route of using Christ as the one and only authority exorcism.
Well, we're coming up on the end of the show here. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about how they can find out more about you and maybe get in touch with you?
Right. They can go to getridofghosts.com. It's just spelled like it says, getridofghosts.com or .org. They'll find a lot of information up there. And, you know, I even have some natural things and different things like that that I've learned over the years at work. They can get my book, which is The Curse of El Diablo, that about the 10 days in Juarez. It's a very factual book. I wrote it through my eyes only. I didn't attempt to speak for others. My partner there was a minister, an ordained minister, and he died a year later from his wounds that we received. I too was in the hospital the same day he died, and I was dying, and they happened to be able to save my life at that moment. But it was a very, very difficult case, and it's all true. You know, I just keep doing this work. I had thought to retire this year. I've been doing it now for over almost, 48 years. But then a friend of mine came to me and said, you know, it's not time to retire. It's a time to recruit, to educate. So I plan to put out some books that will educate other people in how to do what I do. And hopefully they will find those helpful.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your story with us on our show.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Sonia Brose on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Meet you.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The Republican health care bill appears dead.
Senator Susan Collins says she is against the bill, meaning there is now enough opposition to end the GOP's last-ditch effort to undo the Obama health care law, with at least three Republicans against it. The last hope for the White House and Republican leaders is to change some minds. They've been tweaking the bill to no avail. Kentucky's Rand Paul says the only reason to vote for it is partisan pressure after years of GOP promises. He compares it to a kidney stone.
Pass it, pass it, pass it. You just got to pass it.